as we know, that it never gets truly dark. It turns out in Bertrand Bradstock, it does get truly, truly dark. And then we were walking along this path and we could see less and less around us until we got to the point when we were walking on this path, which we knew was just a matter of feet away from the cliff edge, and we can no longer see the path, we can no longer see the ground around it, and we can no longer see where the cliff edge was. I kid you not. We could hear the waters breaking, but we could not see the path. We could not see the cliff edge. And you might think, well, why don't you get your phones out at this point and shine your lights? Because they were Nokia brick phones. They didn't have lights. I think to this day, that would be up there with my top three most terrifying experiences. At any moment, I thought, we could just step off the cliff. We would not know until our foot hit nothing. It was terrifying. And during that time, I had a deep, deep craving for light. Any light. There I was in the darkness, totally blind, in a dangerous place, and I craved light. Well, that's the theme, really, of our reading from John, this famous reading. It is all around the Word, who is Jesus, the Son of God, from before the creation of the world, from everlasting to everlasting, the Word existed. But when it talks about him, it also talks about this language of light. And it's such a strong theme for Christmas, and perhaps this year of all, this theme of light feels particularly precious to us. It feels like it's been a dark year. And we crave light. I think we crave that more than anything else. Right now, when the future is so dark, when it is so uncertain, we want something to navigate by. But of course, this language of darkness and light has a serious word for us to start with. That Jesus is telling us here that we live in darkness. We are part of that darkness. We might say, well, I don't feel like I'm living in the darkness. But here's the question, how would you know? Now, obviously, we knew we were in the darkness in Bertrand Bradstock, but most of the time we operated in the light. But if I've only ever lived in the darkness, and everyone I know has only ever lived in the darkness, how would I know? We are living in darkness. We're living in the darkness because we have said we can do without God, which is mad, obviously. That's like saying I can do without the sun. But we've done that. We've done that because we felt that the demands of holding on to God were too great. It required us to give up our pride. And so we chose the darkness instead. But here we have the wonderful news that there is light. That the Word is the light that has come into our darkness. But this raises a question. How do I know that Jesus is the true light? Or how would I recognize the true light when it comes? How would I know that? How would I know, as it says in verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. How do I know that's Jesus, and how do I know what the true light is? And that's much harder than you might think. Because the Bible tells us earlier on that one of the things we do as human beings is we try to make our own lights to see through the darkness. Isaiah says this, "Let the one who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on their God. But now all you who light fires and provide yourselves with flaming torches, go walk in the light of your fires and of the torches you set ablaze." It makes it clear what John means when he talks about the true light. He says there are lots of lights out around, but most of them have been made by us, and that they will flicker and they will fade. And actually, you don't have to look very hard to see that how that's happened. You can see that the movement, which was known as the Enlightenment, well, people have moved on from that understanding of the world. The 20th century looked to political systems and political philosophies as making sense of the world, whether you were fascism or Marxism. But both ended up flickering out in quite horrible ways. And perhaps today we're the great age of science. And there is so much brilliant stuff about science. Let's not pretend otherwise. But at the same time, we now find ourselves in the middle of a pandemic. And we say, well, we just need to let the science lead our decisions. But it turns out that when you're talking about social policy, it's too complex. And so we have one scientist disagreeing with another scientist. I do feel for the politicians here. We tell them we want the scientists to lead the response. But when two scientists disagree, well, who gets to make that decision as to who they're going to follow? We're living in darkness. We don't know where we're going, and we don't know how to live. So how can we find the true light? Well, John tells us. First, that God has sent a witness. It says here, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light. That's great. John can point us to the light so that through John all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. John the Baptist stands out as a remarkable individual. I don't know whether you've ever looked at him. He's really quite a strange fellow. And in the Christmas story, he's basically ignored, as he is through much of the time. Yet, here's the thing. He's the very first witness to the Christmas story. Everyone else waited to witness to the baby's birth. They waited for the birth. We're told that John witnessed from his own mother's womb as Mary walked in pregnant. But John the Baptist is a strange witness for God to have chosen. You wouldn't choose him as your public relations guru or your advertising executive. He was deeply unfashionable. He wore hairy clothes and he ate locusts. His message was deeply challenging. And he deflected attention from himself. It says here, he himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. And that's all he ever said about himself. It's a very striking thing that when God sent a witness to the true light, he sent someone so different from our world. How do you know whether someone is pointing to Jesus, truly pointing to Jesus? Well, they won't point to themselves. They won't be fashionable. And they will be challenging. Be wary of the one who sends you a hope that seems to be all about you, all about them. The true light, Jesus, is very different. So look out for those who witness to Jesus. But look out not for those who are sort of razzmatazz and fit into our culture and our fashions. Look out for the ones like John the Baptist, who are unfashionable, who are challenging. Secondly, we note that the light doesn't just have a witness like John the Baptist, he is rejected. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. They've not understood him, they've not received him. The mark of the true light is that it is rejected by our world. Well, it's obvious really, isn't it? If our world is darkness, it's not going to find the light easy. Isn't it interesting that when we try to find truth, the truth we nearly always latch onto is the truth that tells us that basically we're doing all right. That we've got it right. It turns out the true light's not like that. The true light will challenge us. If you want to know whether something is the true light, if you want to know whether it's truly Jesus, it will challenge you to the core. Instead, what we do is, if we do sort of talk about Jesus, we often end up making our own plastic Jesuses, the ones that will fit into our lives rather than challenge them. The Jesus who never leaves the manger. The Jesus who never says anything which upsets us or angers us, never does anything controversial. In other words, the light that fits in with the darkness. And what's the light that fits in with the darkness? It's darkness. The light, the true light, shines in the darkness. It challenges the darkness. It pierces the darkness. We know we got the real Jesus when he challenges us. We know we got the truth when it turns us over and inside out. The plastic Jesus doesn't challenge the light because he belongs to the darkness. Instead, the real Jesus is like that moment. I don't know whether you do this. I put my phone by my bedside table and I want to check the time. So I turn it over and I press the button, at which point I realise I haven't put it on dark mode and it's still on maximum brightness. And suddenly it's like, whoa, you are hit by this wall of light from your screen. Well, seeing the true Jesus is like that. The true light is rejected. That's how we recognise him. Now, it doesn't mean that every Jesus that the world rejects, every sort of people purporting to tell you about Jesus that is rejected by the world is therefore right. But it does tell you this. If the Jesus you're dealing with is a Jesus the world is fine with, it's not the real one. It's not the true light. But the final thing is the light is glorious. I love this. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son. When you see Jesus as he really is, he is challenging, but he is also captivating. In particular, when things seem dark. I've seen someone this year who has gone through the most awful tragedy of anyone I've seen this year. And there's been competition. And yet in her life, Jesus has shone so clearly in her. I didn't even know how that could be. And in fact, I say it, one person, I can think of two, three, four people like that. I've personally found some moments really hard this year, especially as our family have embarked upon a new thing, which has been incredibly challenging. And at times I just wondered how I could keep going. But at those times, Jesus is so, so precious. And yeah, he's awkward. And yes, he challenges me. And yes, he says my life is kind of part of the darkness. But at the same time, he brings life. He brings hope. He brings truth. He gives me an anchor. He gives me a hope. He gives me a foundation. He is the rock that is higher than I, as the psalmist says. He is the king. He is the majestic one. He is the one who will lead me through the deep waters. He is the one who will protect me as I go through the fire. Yes, the true light is challenging to the darkness. But the light, well, it's the only thing I want. It's the only thing we need. So maybe you're here this Christmas and you're wondering about this year and what's going to happen. I want to present to you Jesus, the true light who came into the world. You won't find him easy. You will find him deeply challenging. He will not leave one part of your life untouched, unturned over. But he is the light, and he is glorious. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you are the light that shines in the darkness. Jesus, please shine into our hearts, shine into the hearts of the people here in St. Patrick's Church and live streaming. Please now shine into our hearts that we might see the glory of God in your face. Amen.